All right, so this is August 13th, 2020. This is our seventh call in our Story Mastery Series. And oh my goodness, I need the Shavasana, I think, more than ever. Need, I don't like saying that, but it's just true. That's how it feels today because I am bouncing off the walls. I'm so excited today for some news that we have for the material for today. I have been working on playing with this and working to find a story about story that is digestible, that is real, that is implementable, that it is not caught in some like weird, funky language that you can't apply, but actually right here, right now in your company. So got some great stuff planned for you today so that I can peel myself off the walls and wherever you're coming from. Let's begin as we do in Shavasana with that centering place. With the breath, with the place that all empowering stories come from, which is from that silent place. So as always, yes, I see a lot of you already have said hi in the chat. Please remember to do so every day. That helps us to serve you. Then again, camera on, camera off, whatever allows you to be aligned, at ease, in your quiet place today. And, you know, the thing I love about Shavasana, you can hear me bouncing off the walls, super excited today. And Shavasana can take us from wherever we are, happy, you know, like a little bit bouncy like I am right now, sad, tired, overjoyed and bouncy, in despair, whatever the energy is inside of us. Shavasana brings that centering. Shavasana brings that quiet space. Shavasana allows us to gather the energy. In my own practice this morning, I had been thinking through something that I wanted to share with you and looking for the best way to get it across in simple, accessible, tangible terms. And I had been working on it for quite a while. I laid down in Shavasana, I wasn't thinking about it, and the answer came immediately. Don't do Shavasana for that. It is not, don't try to make something happen that's the opposite of Shavasana, but just know that when we take this time for ourselves, it allows that centering of energy. Ideas do come to us. It's like a side benefit of, it's a spin-off effect of Shavasana. It allows us to tap into something that is so much larger than ourselves. It allows us to create from a much deeper place and to tap into all of who we are so we don't, as I was speaking about, at Stories That Sell Now, so we don't end up building the wrong company that doesn't even emanate from us. It might be somebody else's great idea, but it's not us. Shavasana allows us to tap in at the very deepest levels. So lying on your back, allow yourself to be comfortable. If you're not comfortable, notice that. If you continue to practice Shavasana and are uncomfortable every time, just notice. Just notice what is without judgment. Have you tolerated that? What are you tolerating then in your life? What are you tolerating in your business? If you're tolerating it in Shavasana, you're probably tolerating it elsewhere and you ought not to. Take good care of yourself. And it begins in Shavasana, letting yourself be comfortable. So placing support beneath your head so your chin is lower than your forehead. That lets the mind be quiet. Have you given yourself appropriate support? So if you notice the support that you've placed beneath your head, is it only covering, is only touching halfway down your neck? Sometimes we need to hear things a few times to hear it. If we do that, Shavasana doesn't go as deep. We're not getting the support that we truly need. Where else is this happening in your company? So take the time to be in control of the things you can be in control of. The head support touches, but does not go beneath the shoulders. This changes the depth and nature and speed with which we drop into Shavasana. So the details matter. The further entrepreneurs travel on their entrepreneurial journey, the more success they've had, the more they know, the more we know. But it's all in that tiny nuanced move. It makes all the difference. Support your head and neck well. Bend your knees, make space through the low back. So no wowing arch in the low back, but neither is the low back pressed for all it's worth to the floor. There's just a natural curve of the low back. Low back is comfortable. Extend your legs out so the legs are a comfortable distance apart. What does comfortable mean to you? different space for different people, different shaped bodies, different moment today, this Shavasana here and now. Have you paid attention or have you just done it by rote? My legs are always like this. I'm just going to do it like that. Yes, routines can help us, but what would be comfortable for your legs today? Have you allowed yourself to notice? Let them be comfortable. Let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. Relax the legs. Dig the elbows into the floor and lift and open the heart center. Any amount, the shoulder blades dig into the back, not towards each other, as Steve clarified for us a few weeks ago, but into the back. Shoulder blades move into the back. That lifts and opens the heart center. So we press the elbows to open the chest. Then relax the arms. The arms are straight. They're in a low V, palms up position. Maybe 30 degrees or so away from the body, but what do you need today? Pay attention. Are your shoulders tight or are they relaxed? Can you release them? What about the arms? What about the hands? Notice your fingers today. We don't always pay attention, or I don't always call your attention to the fingers. The fingers will tell us a lot about how our day has been. Are they outstretched and tense? That's probably how your day has been and how your life has been proceeding lately. When we're relaxed and at ease, not because we're trying to do so, but because it just naturally happens, the fingers just curl. Can you feel it? Not because we're trying to, but we're not holding tension in the hands. If you get tension headaches, if you have sore neck ever, if you get migraines, part of it may be coming from that tension that travels from your hands all the way up the arms to the shoulders. Our entire body, mind, spirit is connected. Relax the hands. Feel softness in the center of the palms. Can you feel it? And for some of you, if it's today, great. If it's not for you today, that great, that's fine too. But when you place your attention at the center of the palms, sometimes, can you feel it today? We can feel like tingling aliveness in the hands. I'm not lying with you in Shavasana, but even now as I speak it, I can feel it in my own hands, tingling, alive, awake. Don't be attached to whether this happens for you today or not, but can you feel it? Feel into the life force energy of the palms. Then let that alive sensation travel up the forearms, the upper arms, the shoulders, the neck, the throat, the face, the whole body awake and alive, and at the same time, deeply at ease. If you haven't closed your eyes yet, of course, do so. Maybe by now, even your face is tingling alive. The lips, sometimes people feel it there first in the lips. Can you feel it? Don't be attached, just notice. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. Let the ears recede toward the back brain. So ears and eyes meet at a point toward the back brain. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Go inward. No effort, no grasping, no trying. Simply ease and breath. Letting go of what came before, the thoughts, the actions. It's all in the past. It's just a memory. Even what I just said 5 seconds ago, it's just a memory. Let it go. Be here with this movement of this breath, here and now. Watch the breath. Be curious about the breath, like the curiosity of a child. What's your breath like here and now today? We did some profound work with breath, simple and profound, just last week. Just notice the breath. Is it deep or shallow, ragged or smooth? Does it change as you observe it? Not because you're trying, but the very act of attention changes a thing. Physicists know this too. Just observe without judgment, letting go of all else. Watch the breath. Be the breath. If you find your mind wandering, as mine will, gently, without judgment, let that thought go. It's so unimportant right now, so it doesn't matter. Just return to this moment, focused attention here and now, this breath. And in this quiet place, affirm your own radiance and divine beauty, your own magnificence and awesomeness. Know that you are amazing. The mind is receptive in Shavasana. Know that here. Your own beauty and grace. And affirm that in this moment, with this breath, all is well. And allow the breath to deepen. Placing your hands somewhere on the torso, feel the breath. Softly open the eyes toward the ceiling today. Let the gaze be soft, unfocused, no effort. Just allow the light to drop in without you trying. Bend the knees, roll to the right side, support your head. Be present here in this in-between place. Use the hands to press yourself up to sitting. Return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. Trains that presence, one-pointed attention. We receive so much more when we're not trying to multitask. The experts know that, who study this, know that multitasking is a myth. We never actually multitask, we code switch. If we think we're multitasking, it's like trying to do the alphabet and numbers at the same time. It's much easier to do them one at a time. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If we try to do them both at the same time, we code switch. A1, B2, C3, D4, E5. I can go to there and then it gets harder and my brain hurts. That's what we're doing when we're multitasking. And how you do anything is how you do everything. Will you give yourself the gift of this time together? Let go of whatever else you were doing and just be here now as you were in Shavasana. Let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love about this practice? What we focus on expands. Barb, thank you.
The tingling palms and the tingling throughout the body was just really special. And focusing on me and being awesome, and it was just great. Thank you.
Barb, thank you so much. I've got chills when I hear you say that. I know you got it. And this tingling sensation, I actually practiced this meditation itself for, at least a couple of years. There's so many amazing practices out there. I give you the ones that have moved the needle the most. If I'd kept every practice that every teacher had given me, it would take me 24 hours a day. But I wanted to give you a taste of this. One thing it's sometimes called is an inner body meditation. And it comes in naturally as a piece of Shavasana at times. Sometimes, as some of you are talking about, you know, tingling ears or different things that happen. And so I wanted to give you the gift of that. And you obviously received that. When we come from Shavasana and we know we are live, embodied human beings on this planet, and then we walk on the stage, that one thing is worth the price of admission this year if you actually embody it, live it, touch it, know it, enact it, and then go off into your world from that place. Not to mention the me part as well. Thank you, Barb. Really great. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love today in your practice of Shavasana? Sherry, thank you.
I arrived a couple of minutes late and I decided not to take out my mat and actually lay in Shavasana, but rather sit in a cross-legged position. And I could visualize the sensations of the support underneath my neck as my legs were comfortably out and my hands, and focusing on my breath. It was, after having done many of them with and without you, it's easy to visualize the whole practice.
I love this, Sherry. As I talk you through Shavasana each week, I'm seated. I'm not doing Shavasana, but I have been doing Shavasana daily, I would say daily, since the summer of 2006. And mostly daily for many years before that. It's a very deep and practiced practice for me. So I receive the energy of it even when I'm talking you through it. The more we practice Shavasana, the more we can drop into that state quickly. What if you're about to walk onto stage? You had 1 minute and you just got a phone call from somebody and something is up and whatever, and you hang up, you have a minute or you have a couple breaths. The power of this practice, I cannot emphasize enough. The more we do it, the more we can drop into that state quickly. And no matter what has happened in the world, walking on stage, walking into an important conversation, maybe work late that needs to happen because something fell through, whatever it is, to be able to drop into that state at will is a phenomenal power. One that very few entrepreneurs have, I would say. And those that do have it have used it to propel success in ways that are hard to either quantify or even articulate. And I work with words. So that ability propels success. That ability allows us to walk into any situation, no matter what. That ability gives us energy because we can diffuse that crazy energy, come into a different space very quickly. We have more energy and power for all that we do. Thank you, Sherry. There's more to this practice than we can say, even in speaking about it every single time we do it together. Let's hear one more. Is there one more wanting to be shared? Because these were profound. Anything else bubbling up about Shavasana? Yeah, Mary Kay. I felt your energy earlier, Mary Kay. I think it was about you. It's like, I could see you almost put your hand up earlier, but you were waiting for others to speak first. And then Sherry raised her hand, but you still had that thing that you said, right? Oh, people's thoughts are sometimes visible, you know, when we, the more practiced we are about knowing the people in front of us, the way J.K. Rowling knows everybody. Did I get it right necessarily? I'm not attached to being right. Is there a good chance that I'm right? Yes, it's like listening to people at levels beyond just what's spoken. Mary Kay, go ahead.
I loved it because my cat joined me and he wrapped his paws around my arm.
Animals just get stuff. I know that some of you know this even more profoundly than I know it. One of the places I learned that very deeply was in Mexico, where we would do yoga on the beach. And when we practiced at Mara de Hade, there were these dogs, especially a couple of years in a row, we would be practicing and they would come and practice with us. They couldn't help them. And there's like a whole complex that they could wander around at, but animals feel good energy and they just want to be around, right? Babies too. So if you have kids, you practice with kids or grandkids or your niece or nephew, or, you know, you could borrow the kid from next door. Babies, toddlers are amazing. So when Dana was very small, she would come and crawl to be beside me, and she would do the poses too. Or she would lie on top of me when I was in Shavasana. And the contentment of babies, you know, it's extraordinary. Babies, animals, no. And there's a reason that in yoga, a lot of the postures are named after animals. We have dog pose and pigeon and eagle pose. We're learning from the wisdom of animals here. And again, I know some of you work so directly and know more about that than I do. I've touched it sometimes in my life. Some of you, it's your work and your passion. Beautiful, thank you. All right, anything else bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Deeper dive into Shavasana than I expected today, but I could just feel it bubbling up inside you guys and the profound things you're experiencing here. So, you know, there's always time for all that we've put forward here today. Okay, fantastic. So let me see, a couple of announcements before we dive into some really cool stuff. A couple of you know some of the really cool stuff that's coming today. There's two separate really cool things on top of what we're gonna be learning today. So don't worry, it's coming in a little later. I haven't forgotten. It's been on my mind. I know you know who you are. All right, announcements. And bless Amy. She's actually writing out announcements for me now. I just want to tell you, like, the team does so much behind the scenes to help us out. Announcements are much better now that she's writing them out for me, because I would forget things, all right? So reserve your spot. Story Freedom Online. Each of you, as you, I hope, know by now, you have a bonus ticket to our upcoming Story Freedom. Access the power of story to create the business you love, September 9th, 10th, and 11th. Some of you have been here before. You know the power of this event. We have never, ever done it online before. And my very favorite Mexico was Mexico at Home. I told you this at Mexico at Home, and I was shocked myself by that. I did not expect that. You know, I said that. I don't say things that I don't mean. This is our very first Story Freedom Online. I cannot wait. I know this will be our most powerful ever. We are in a very powerful time on our planet right now. And this event has rocked worlds. I don't know how else to say that. So if you have not got your ticket yet, you need to register it for you to get your enhanced access ticket. And that includes access to the recordings to Story Freedom for a year. We've not given this in this way ever before, all right? So head on over to bit.ly/storyfreedom-student. Yvonne, will you try to put that in there for me? I know you don't have it in front of you, but it's bit.ly/ all one word, storyfreedom-student. Use the promo code STUDENT2020. Student is all in capital letters, all one word. And you want to register your ticket today by midnight to receive access to the 2-hour exclusive laser coaching for Toxic Cell workshop that is for students only. My team, some members of my team said, Michelle, open this up to other people. I said, no, because I cannot teach in the same way if this for other people as well. So I'm sorry, your friends can't come to this. They can come to other things, but they cannot come to this because it's in-house, because we can move really quickly and really well. And Jamie's been our superstar for sharing her talk. All we've been doing mostly is working on 2 lines of her talk and the profound shift that that's made. In one of them, I remember, Jamie, a little while ago, you said, can I get a recording of this right now? That's over a couple of lines of one person's talk. We've got 2 hours of deep dive. You hand in your 2-page summary. I will read it. I'll be getting feedback after feedback after feedback of different people's talks and what you'll gain. Even if you don't have your talk, even if you don't hand it in, you're going to want to be there, because what you'll hear from everybody else's talk, you don't want to miss it. So you need to register your talk. It is just for people who are coming to Story Freedom and they are students and they register their ticket. Barb, Steve, Andrea, Lori, Mary Kay, Yvonne, Marla, Jamie, Carly, Jasmine, Wendy, you've all registered your tickets already. Thank you. If you haven't done that yet, please do so. All right. So much to serve and support you in this community these days. So, and Yvonne, yes, that's it. Thank you so much. So, The monthly survey. This is the first time we've done the monthly survey. Again, we're always growing new things to serve and support you. These whole two series, Story Mastery and Stories That Sell Now, is a bonus to you guys, right? And for most of you, and we love to over-deliver. The monthly survey is a new thing that we've created, and we have extended the deadline. Because this is the first month, we really want to incentivize you to do this, all right? So we're going to permit anyone who completes the survey by tomorrow midnight to participate in the special call with Yvonne that is next week. The mastermind with Yvonne, for those who are able to complete the form, is, I learned this as I read this. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Yvonne. The team is working behind the scenes always to get things done. Wednesday, August 19th, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can complete the survey at bit.ly/mg-monthly survey. Yvonne, will you give a try to that? bit.ly/mg and then the dash monthly survey. And congratulations to Barb, Mary Kay, Wendy, Jamie for completing the first monthly survey and entering your name into the draw. And I can't help myself. I'm not always going to do this because I know it takes time and I know I'm not that swift at it yet, but I can't help myself. It's super fun. We're going to see if we can spin the dial again this time. And so let me see. Okay, I'm going to share my screen. And you're going to see our Slack notes at first, because I think that's the only way I can go there. Hopefully you will follow me along with it. Click over here. I hope you guys see this.
Yeah.
And it's Barb. All right. Only took a few seconds that time. I'm getting better at it. Barb, congratulations. Thank you for entering. So you have won the $50 Amazon gift certificate.
Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. It's just incentivizing you to do something that's going to help you anyway. We're doing everything we can to help you build and grow your company this year, all right? Book a story strategy call with Yvonne. Don't forget to do that. The link, again, Yvonne, if you could put this in the thank you for all this work, Yvonne. Put this in the chat as well, meetingwithyvonne.com. If you haven't booked yours yet, oh my goodness, don't miss out. This woman has rocked my world, has changed my life, and sometimes just in a few words over many years. You do not want to miss this call with her. I think when I said that last time, it's like, oh, nothing like pressure, Michelle. Right? She's also very humble. Right? You're not going to want to miss it, so make sure you go ahead and do that. One thing that I noticed that is not in the announcements, but we have going on, so I don't have it right in front of me here, so I won't say it as eloquently, but you know that we've got another $100 draw, and this is, I was talking to Amy about, was that a gift certificate or was that just money? It's just money. It's like hard, cold cash that we will send to you. It's $100, and we have draws, I think it's every Monday. I don't have it right in front of me. I think it's Monday. It should be in your inbox, and so when you refer one of your friends who joins and comes along with us to Story Freedom, for every friend you refer, and we are doing what we have never done before, all it takes is $67 to the food bank. We have never offered Story Freedom. Like, people will pay thousands of dollars to be there. We have never done that before. I don't know if we'll ever do it again. This is a very special time on the planet, and it's just like my parents taught me to give, you know. And 67, if you were on the call yesterday, my man who died 4 years ago, he was born in 1967. He died 4 years ago. He was 48. He did not get to fulfill all his dreams. That's where the 67 comes from. $67, the whole, you send it to us, the entire donation goes to the food bank, and there's 3 days of training. Three full days of training. It's just me teaching and training. That's it. It's not a pitch fest like a lot of events are these days, like speaker after speaker offering something. I have my dear friend Sarah coming to speak to you because she has rocked my world. She has changed my life. There is one person speaking to you for a short while on day three. Otherwise, I'm teaching and training the whole time. This may not exist ever again. And we'll, you know, I mean, your friends are our friends. If you know there's somebody who could benefit from this, it's our way of saying thank you to you. We'll enter you into the draw. Every time you bring a friend, your name gets entered into the draw one more time. All right. So you bring five friends this week, your name gets entered into that draw five times for that $100. So I don't have a link right in front of me for your friends to register. I think it's just at storyfreedomretreat.com. I think that's where they register. And Yvonne, can you
I will go look.
Can you go look for me? Thank you so very much. All right. Tons of announcements. So much going on to serve and support you in the community more than ever. This is the best time ever to be in this community. We're building so much so very quickly. And Andrea is doing some stuff helping us build as well in ways that, I mean, we've been friends for many, many years. So glad you're here in this community now, Andrea. And I couldn't help myself. I sent her like a 3-page note, I think, this morning, which you probably haven't had a chance to read. But like, there's this idea and that idea and that idea, more things and more gifts for the community this year. What we're opening out to for this year is freaking phenomenal. So those are a few of the things that are going on right here, right now to serve and support you. All right, next. Let me see, which piece do we wanna do next? I think I can't prolong it any further. There's two special things. One is gonna be a little later. I haven't forgotten if it's in a little later in the program, all right? But there's one that is super, super special. And so one of you know of two special things. And this first one involves Wendy. Two immediate smiles, because there's only two people who, there's only a couple people on this call who know what this is. So Wendy has, you know, we always want to be in on the energy of leaping, because we want to leap into things in our lives and in our companies. We want other people to leap into the work that we do so we can help and serve and support them. We want to understand and kind of catch some of that energy of that leap, because that's moves our lives forward in so many beautiful ways. And Wendy just made a profound and beautiful leap into her second year and into Diamond Elite. And so will you join me on the count of three to celebrate Wendy and her leap into Diamond Elite? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Yay, Wendy!
Yay, Wendy!
Freaking awesome. I am so proud of you, my friend. I am so excited for you. And you know the drill, because this is leap into second year as well, and a beautiful leap into Diamond Elite. So we would love to be in on some of that leaping energy. And so would you share with us, like, what made you leap? What is it that's vibrating inside you that you're going like, that's the thing, like, that's my path, that's what I'm doing? Would you share with us, please?
Sure. So I feel like I have spent the last year allowing and receiving one of the most beautiful visions I've ever received in my whole entire life about what it is that I was put on this planet to do. And so I'm just going to read what I wrote down, because Michelle had me do a lot of soul searching to find out why I was doing this. So I'm just going to read.
Perfect.
I'm done accepting less than the truths of who I am to rule and reign in my universe. Done letting them hold me back, limit my capabilities, and stop me from truly living. I must say that up until now, I've actually lived a pretty incredible life. I have been blessed in abundance, and I know there is so much more. It's time to bring heaven to earth right here and right now. I'm done living small and in bondage to my disempowering stories and thoughts. Freedom is what my heart and soul are seeking, and I know enough to see that it is more than possible. It's well on its way. I'm done playing small. It's time to arise and shine. It's time to do all the amazing things I was created for. It's time to make a difference in the lives of those who God has already orchestrated to come into orbit with his incredible universe of trusting divinity. I can't wait.
Wendy, thank you so much. Freaking awesome. I love it. I love both what you said and how you said it. Did you hear, like, there's so many things about what will make either a story land or a words land. And I just want to spend like a whole day unpacking how you wrote this. But the one thing I want to point out, could you hear it? The refrain, the piece that makes it so powerful for me is like, I'm done. I haven't heard this piece until now, right? I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I haven't heard. Wendy wrote a whole ton for me. I might have heard it, but I didn't hear it like this. Wendy wrote like beautiful, beautiful volumes. I'm still moving my way through. So I haven't read every single piece that you sent me yet, Wendy. Right? But could you hear it? I'm done. I'm done. I'm done this. I'm done this. I'm done this. That was that life before. And it's time. It's time. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Can you hear the forward motion? So beautiful, Wendy. Thank you so very much. Beautiful. Whew. All right. I want to hear one thing that you heard for you from that, because if it's like something of a leaping energy, it could be something about the way that she said it. It could be something that you're leaping into for you that you're excited about. What did you hear in that for you? Because every single piece of what we do is always like, what not does this apply, but how does this apply to me? Where did that tap into that leaping in energy for me or whatever it is for you? Let's hear one sentence on that so we can put a bow around that too and move on to a next piece. Thank you, Wendy. Yeah, Barb, Yvonne. Barb first.
It just brought a smile to my heart. Of thanks and joy and best wishes and love.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much. Barb's aha wasn't about her, it was for Wendy. Can you hear that? When we give like that, it comes back tenfold and it comes right back to Barb, right? It's just like, oh, I see you, Wendy. And it, you know, has a rebound effect on me too, right? Being, you know, speaking as Barb here, right? Thank you, beautiful. Yvonne. Yvonne, who heard it hot off the press in a call right after, right?
Yes, feel very privileged to actually be on the in crowd when it comes to information like that. So, Wendy, I'm just super, super stoked for you. I'm happy on multiple levels for you, but also for me, because we get to play together in the same sandbox. So kudos.
Welcome to two parallel Diamond Elite journeys. And so super fantastic. Yeah, love it. Thank you. All right. Beautiful. So keep on celebrating. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you, Wendy. Keep on celebrating the Facebook page, get on connection calls and celebrate. Like just, you know, when we do something that is really big, just celebrate, keep celebrating. And the universe sends us more and this is how it works. All right. So much today. All right. Let me take a breath. Okay, questions. There's like a couple questions, interestingly, from Yvonne and from Wendy on deck today. And I'm going to answer these pretty quickly. And then if there's another level of answer that's desired, repost it and we'll take it to the next level, all right? And if ever I miss, if I didn't see the question that you posted, let me know. Let me know. Keep me aligned with what it is that you want and you need. If I didn't see it, just let me know, okay? So Wendy says, I'm looking for a 30-minute yoga practice that I can do in my garden place. I do 10 minutes of Shavasana. Will you help? Please help me with 20 minutes prior to Shavasana so that I can do a practice beforehand. This is not something we can do right here, right now, as you know, and you're even in your question, Wendy, you say about thanks in advance. So I have an idea about this. And this is, you know, something I think about the Diamond Elite journey. One of the things about it is it comes out of a deep service too. Like, so it's like when we're on a deep journey, we also have more to share, right? And so Wendy, if you're open to this as part of the beginning of your Diamond Elite journey, one way to do this would be in a private session where we build it for you as one of the springboards for your Diamond Elite journey and then share it with community, right? So it might take us a little while to build that 20-minute segment because it's a very individual thing. So we would design it for you because you asked, right? And it's like how perfect for the beginning of your Diamond Elite journey. And then for others, you can go and take a look at what we've built for Wendy, and there's going to be things that you can play with. Does that make sense? So help for Wendy directly because she asked, and then with a spin-off effect for everybody, because like the sequence that I would design for Dottie would not be the one that I would design for Jamie, for Steve, for Wendy, but it will give you a springboard and a beginning place, and it will be designed for Wendy to begin. Make sense? Good, appropriate answer. So thank you for that. Wendy, will you send me a text and remind me right, to do that? Make sure that I get it done. And if ever I miss something, just let me know. There's a lot of moving parts. We're building so many things for you these days. So if I miss something, just let me know. Don't suffer in silence, okay? Wendy had another call. She says, as I consider how to put my story about the garden place into a two-page talk, remember that's a two-page talk, for that 2-hour session on like how to, you know, with laser coaching on your talk, I'm having a hard time to figure out what to include and what to leave out. How do you figure it out? How do you condense it? How do you include the most important point? So, and she's asked good questions. Who am I telling the story to? Potential clients. What's the purpose? Inviting them in. What's the oh shit moment? We were talking about that in Stories That Sell Now. The moment I realized I was the abandoned baby that I had a choice to make in my life about moment to moment, like what I choose to have in our fell. So what is that oh shit moment? So here's what I want to say, one more piece of the puzzle for you, Wendy, and then keep asking the question, just like we've done with Jamie's talk, like ask the next iteration of the question. Who am I telling the story to? Potential clients? That's the very first place I would go to, and I want to know more about them. And one more thing, I'm doing a Facebook Live today at 4 p.m. If you've seen it, head over to the Love Your Words Facebook page, and it's going to help address this right away, all right? And it's going to be a teaching, it's going to be a variation of a teaching that you saw a few weeks ago, but hear it now in response to that question, Wendy, and I invite you all to come. There's information in the Love Your Words Facebook page, and it will help address this question. But when I say, who am I telling this story to? And when you say potential clients, I want to know more there. I want to know them like J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. Exactly. Who is this person? What's keeping them up at night? Until I know that, I won't know what that story should be, and I won't know where to start it, and I don't know how long it should be, and I don't know where it fits in my talk. So I need to know exactly who that person is. And even before I can think about that oh shit moment, I've got to think about, if you don't know about that, go back to the previous call. We did some great work about that. I need to know the very specific call to action, inviting them to begin their journey. But what is the exact invitation? So for instance, in this company, is it that I'm asking them to download an Adam Even Empowering Story? Am I asking them to download 7 quick tips to write your story? Am I asking them to book a strategy session with me? Am I asking them to comment below? Am I asking them to get on a connection call with me? Depending on what that call to action is, the whole rest of the talk will be built differently and the story is going to be different. So I need to know those things very specifically before I can answer that question. So work on those two pieces and then the next iteration of the question. All right. Makes sense. And this is bringing together a lot of the story pieces that we've been talking about over both series. Okay. Yvonne, let me see. Yvonne, I actually asked, I think I asked you to post this one, didn't I? Can I ask you to repost it and table it for next week? Because we've got lots of moving parts I didn't even know when I asked you about it. And I want to make sure that we get to the core content for today. I want to get to some other pieces. So having asked you to post it, can I ask you to repost it again?
Of course.
Thank you so much. And we'll get there next time. Okay. Wendy, did that give you a couple of pieces to play with for both of those questions? All right. Thank you. I want to hear one thing from one person, either about the Shavasana piece or about the talk. What's the one aha for you right here, right now, because we train ourselves to hear ahas so that, wow, that's opening something for my company. That's opening something for my company. That's a trained and learned response, right? What's the aha for you that you can then also articulate in a sentence? That's good practice too. So every time we do ahas, we're also practicing. Here's the central point. Steve, thank you.
Before you start your talk, you need to know who you're talking to and what your call to action is.
Thank you. Clearly stated, clearly underlined. And I will say most people miss it. And even if they've been trained to do that, most people still miss it. Because the call to action, I've helped so many people, I can't tell you. They think the call to action is come work with me. And, you know, well, we all have fallen into this. So if you've done, you know, no, it's not. That's not the specific call to action. We need to know exactly what we're asking them to do. Come work with me is way too big. That's like, hey, I just met you. Do you want to get married? You got to know exactly what the call to action is and why that should matter to them. So, and who am I speaking to? Again, most entrepreneurs miss this, because there is a very nuanced level of who this person is. So this is a kind of a basic training that has many layers to it. And when we really truly get how this works, just if we just nailed that one piece that I taught in response to Wendy and that Steve underlined, the talk would blow out of the water many, many talks out there and often even by professional speakers. If you believe me about that, because you really deeply heard what I just said, raise your hand. Yeah. And from those who invite speakers onto their stage, both your hands, I saw it shoot up. So, you know, yes, right. Thank you. And both of them going, yeah, it's true, right? Thank you. Good. All right. Anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Today's call feels a little bit like I'm on your market set go. I got so much I want to share with you today, Mary Kay, but I also want to empty the room out. Otherwise, we can't hear anything more. Mary Kay, go ahead.
Well, I just had an aha because I've been invited to speak at another animal behavior conference in the fall. And the audience, I'm going to write out all the things, the ideal things, ideal client things, that list that I made. Well, I'm going to write that, narrow it down to this audience, this particular audience. And I think that's going to help me figure out a whole lot more what to say.
I'm speaking to Dog Lovers America. I'm speaking to horse professionals of the UK. I'm speaking to what is it from this audience that overlaps with my ideal clients so I can make a specific call to them in this moment because they're at this event. Now, I have one talk that I create. I don't create 5,000 talks. But I can tweak the dials of it. Until, like I get one done and I make it work and then I can go create more, right? But I can tweak the dials of it for this particular audience. It's in the nuance of the question that I ask. It's in the nuance of the example. Thank you, Mary Kay. That's a take home for the whole call. And we haven't even got to the material yet, but that's directly related to some of the stuff we're going to do. And so when you really listen to this call, you'll hear how it connects. All right. Anything else bursting to be said? Don't worry, there's one other person. I haven't forgotten. It's going to come later, but it's going to come. Dottie, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, I heard you talk about the 7 tips to making up your story. Where do we find those?
Let me see. I don't have that URL right in front of me, but I think we should have it somewhere over there in Story Freedom Academy. Let me see. Best way to do that is, I'm sure we've given you access to it before, but I can't remember. I think it's just at, wait, hang on.
I can email it, Michelle. I have it handy.
Aw, thanks, Wen.
Will you put your email address in, Dottie, and I'll get it to you?
Yes.
And also, if you guys go to, Yvonne, will you just, can you send Amy a note and have us make sure that we get that to people on our next call so that generally everybody knows where to go to get that? And I'll be mentioning it too on the Facebook Live. So that's going to be my call to action, you'll see. All right. Anything else bursting to be said that you really cannot not say before we go forward? Otherwise, energy is pulled over here. Okay. I want to do just a hop, skip, and a jump through, like in 1 minute, some of the places where we've been in this series. Just the guiding principles. It does not reteach that. You got to go back to that call to understand what it means. But this will just remind you of some of the places where we've been because our next piece is going to build on that. And before we get to our next piece, we've got something real special coming up that I've been waiting for all year. But first, guiding principles, and then something that's actually going to lead us in beautifully to our next segment, all right? So after our intro call, it talked about story in general, and it's huge, like all the places where we use story and why it matters. I mean, every piece of our company is story. That one sentence doesn't do justice to that first call. Go and listen to it and find out how we can implement and use story. I remember Dottie going, branding is story, really? Yes, it is. Every aspect of our company is story. So after that first call, our second call was about that the one place that if we don't have this, if we don't start there, we don't have anything. It's about character. One of the things I taught about character in stories, there's only one main character, the protagonist, and it's not you. If you have a company, it's not you. As an entrepreneur, you're Obi-Wan. You're not Luke. And there are key elements that guide their journey, but their inner journey always comes first, right? We taught a lot more about character, but that's some of the central idea from that one call. Call number 3 was about plot. Right, well, the character stuff happens to the character, right? You arrange events in order for a purpose. Choose the plot elements wisely so they support character growth and theme. You wouldn't have understood those words as much when we were teaching because we hadn't got the theme yet. But now you'll understand it better. And remember, that's, does my dad's story start with, I was born in 1936 and I have 2 brothers? Or does it start with, look at that, the field is burning, that's our farm, son? How do we arrange the events in order to a purpose? And it has to do with what's inside the character. I'm getting ahead of myself. The call for a theme. Your story needs to have a purpose. something you want to say. Know the one point you're trying to make with your story. You can only have one point. Remember that? I said it ad nauseum. One point. Remember, guys? One point. And we watched people's energy drift when we didn't have them. And it comes back when there's one point. Call five, desire. And through desire, we start talking a little bit about conflict and obstacles. You got to know what your main character wants at a much deeper level. You got to know what all the characters want too, but that's like beyond the scope of the series, all right? Start with the main character. If you can figure it out for them, you can figure it out for the other folks, right? I am not telling you everything about the story. It would take all year. I've taught whole year courses about it. I am giving you the things that will move the needle right here, right now, all right? So desire. Know what the character wants at a much deeper level. What do they actually want and why and what's in the way? That's part of what Wendy's got to figure out for her talk. There's potential clients, who are they, right? So desire, we need to understand desire. Last call was about image and symbol. We only just barely touched on symbol, but I wanted you to at least have this as part of your vocabulary. So these are the building blocks of story. Image and symbol. Imagery, do you remember the example that I gave of imagery, what it was? What's an image anyway? Do you remember? It's so funny, people toss these words around in the industry as though they belonged to marketing and sales. They belong to stories. It's just been borrowed over there by marketing and sales from my perspective, right? What's your brand image? It's borrowed from imagery. When we understand imagery, we can get that piece about brand image, our brand image, right? For example. So what is imagery anyway? Do you remember?
Five senses.
Thank you. If you remember imagery, five senses, you got it. Thank you, Wendy. Yes. So things that we can touch and feel and taste and see and smell. Do you remember the example that I gave? I gave one example and there was and I didn't even tell a whole story, but you could hear a collective sigh in the room, Yvonne.
Black shawl.
The black shawl. Do you remember that? You remember a single image and I didn't even tell a whole story. That's how powerful imagery is, all right? So image and symbol. Imagery, those senses, it lets our reader or our listener touch and feel the world we're describing. Imagery is key to emotion. Emotion moves people to action. We must link imagery to other story elements to move our audience to the desired belief and actions. I didn't even give you the guiding principle last week, but Yvonne summed it up in her aha right at the end. Right? And so she got it. She nailed it. I didn't even have time to tell you the guiding principle all at once, but she heard it. I know you all heard it. And there it is summed up in a few sentences, right? Imagery is key to emotion. If you're not sure, go back to the last call. All I did was talk about a black shawl. And does anybody remember what the two circles? I gave little bits of a story last time. What were the bits of story that I gave? It was one story and then a very different story. Who remembers? Yvonne, go ahead.
I remember the moment that she drapes the black shawl over the casket.
Uh-huh. It was just a single image from a story that I didn't complete. Even if you use parts of a story in your talk, you blow it out of the water compared to what's being done in the industry right now. That was one. I gave another example. Does anybody remember? That's one where everybody went, oh. Yeah, Barb, what was the other one?
I gave it to her daughter on her wedding day.
Right. So you remembered that, and there was a collective like in the room just from a single image. But what does that image actually do? It depends on all the other story elements. These things all work synergistically together. I don't know what that black shawl means until I know the other story elements. What is it that my main character wants? What's the point I'm trying to make in the story? All right. And so imagery can help us do all kinds of things in story. It can help us underline the idea we're trying to get across. It can tell us something new about the character. It can move the plot forward. But when we use those descriptive words, things we see, touch, hear, taste, smell, the reader enters our world. It's not just any forest, it's that forest. It's not just any smell of coffee. It's that morning with my grandmother, the day before she died, when she poured her coffee, and it was in my parents' kitchen, by that tiny little table. My aunt, I'm making this stuff up. That didn't really happen, all right? But you're all with me already anyway, just because I'm starting to like paint a picture of it, and you can smell it. And that smell of coffee, not a different one. And we used a different example. Three people I asked for. Do you remember what it was? I asked for three different people's image of. What? Anybody remember?
Trash compactor.
Yes, trash compactors. Whose trash compactor is it? We think that they can read our minds. And so we mess it up. They can't. We had three very different, it was Andrea's and Yvonne's and Wendy's, three very different trash compactors. And Wendy thinks that because her friends remember that trash compactor, she can just say trash compactor and they'll have all that. She doesn't realize it's not on the page or in her talk. But Andrea's thinking about her broken trash compactor and Yvonne's thinking about the one she never uses. So Wendy's going, it's magical. And Yvonne's going, what? And Wendy loses her, or vice versa. What's the context that we're putting it in? And this is a lead into what we're going to do shortly after something really special coming up. I'm seeding this a little bit. You know who you are. You know it's coming very soon. That's leading into our next element. So this is a quick run through. This is not summarized six calls, but it gives you an idea of where we've been. If these are familiar to you and you feel like, right, yeah, I know those things more than I knew before, and I get that they actually matter, and raise your hand. If you get at least even a piece of what, fantastic. Okay. Dottie, go ahead. Quick question.
It's asking you to go through the six things real fast. I went so fast, I didn't get it all.
Read them again. I'm going to ask you to go back to the recording. It's okay, because it's in every single call. And right now it's 1:29 at my house. So go back, because if I do that, we will not have time for another piece that I really want you to have. And you don't have to remember it right here, right now, Dottie. You can let it go. It's okay if you don't remember all of it right now. But go back and you can re-listen to the recording for those guiding principles. And then we'll take it from there. You let it go. You don't need to know it for right now, okay? Because otherwise something else will drop off that I really, really want to share with you today. There's another element I want to add. So thank you, Dottie, for letting that go. Today, anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Jamie, is that a hand or is that just like?
Oh no, I'm thinking. You ruined novels for me, by the way. I'm taking a break and reading a cheap romance novel, and all I can see is every single mistaken belief this stupid woman has. Now I can't even enjoy it.
Sorry, and thank you. And now you know too much, Jamie. And you know, here's the thing. I encounter this all the time at the university, and students would say that at first sometimes, and then they would say the opposite after. So wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Because first you'll get to that, oh man, you've wrecked this for me. But then beyond that, it's like, wow, I can see so much here. And I'm so interested. I'm maybe even interested in different kinds of stories. And sometimes my tastes in stories change. And sometimes I'll see like, oh my goodness, the mistake the character, the mistake and belief the character has. Or sometimes you'll start saying, wow, this novel, they're missing a piece. They didn't clearly outline who the central character is. And I'm losing interest because of that. I'm going to go read this other book. So yes, you know too much now. So there might be a moment of, oh man. It's kind of like when we first encounter the editor. People go, Michelle, I was fine before. And now I've got all these disempowering thoughts. I didn't plant them there, I promise. They were already there, you just didn't notice them. Now, at least when we notice them, it might feel worse for a little while, but then it's gonna feel better because we can actually use them as a springboard to our work, as a springboard to the next level of our company, to know our core values and so on. So you're just at that place in the story. And Jamie is articulating that she's at the place in the hero's journey. We don't go too deeply into the hero's journey here, but you know, it's one way of thinking about the plot where the hero symbolically dies. That's what Jamie just did. That's why we loved what she said, is in a moment she gave us a piece of story. You've ruined stories for me, and now my love of reading is gone. Me as reader has died. That's why we were interested in what she said. So stories everywhere. It was in Jamie's offhand comment even. And I'm telling you, the story doesn't end there. Turn the page. Because there's the resurrection, just like when they're in the trash compactor and they're about to die, right? Or in Princess Bride, when, what do you mean the man in black is dead? He's just faking, right? But there's turning the page. And that's why, and then in a very real sense, when my man died, I had the training of years of story to know, like, yes, this is like, I can't even articulate the grief, the bodily grief and that happens in that moment. And also I knew there is a turning of the page. The power that gives us in our lives, I can't even tell you. When we have that consciousness about story for our lives. So Jamie, thank you for that. And will you hang in there for what happens on the other side of it? Thank you, good. All right. Let me tell you where we're headed today. There's going to be a training. We'll probably continue parts of it next week as well. And because we've got something super, super special that we're coming up to. I know I've been hinting at that the whole call. the next piece that I want to teach you about. So I want you to know what is first, then we're going to go into something special, then we're going to come back to this thing. And I'm super excited to share it with you today because we did just a single small slice of it over there in Stories That Sell Now. And you all went, oh my goodness, I want to play with it. And that's point of view. Today, we're going to do another cut about point of view. And point of view, do you remember that was Jamie's breakfast story in Stories That Sell Now for those who were there? And it's like, oh, let's tell the story now from, you know, Jamie's point of view. Now let's tell it from the point of view of what was it, her? I think I said her kid that's upset with her, right? Now we just let's tell the story from the Martian. I still remember Andrea saying from the Martian's perspective, it's like, oh, look, people must eat rectangular things all the time, right? We shift whose eyes we're looking through, and the whole story changes. Point of view. Whose eyes are we looking through? Who is telling the story? Changes everything. And I want to just land this one little point in you, and then we're going to go to that special thing that I've been seeing this whole call. Think of the shawl. And think of the one where she drapes the shawl for right now over her lover's grave. Imagine that story for a minute from that woman's point of view. Boy, I can imagine that really easily to tell you the truth, like too easily. Oh my goodness. I'm going to overlay my own story over that, right? But it's not. She's a fictional character, right? Now imagine that story. And all of you felt that for the moment because I just saw that little piece and you could feel it. Now let's say that fictional character, let's say she's got a potential lover, somebody who, you know, has fallen in love with her. It was actually, this was my grandmother, to be honest. My grandmother, my grandfather's first wife died. And this is the spirit in my grandmother. I hope you guys don't mind. I hope it's not too much information. But my grandfather's first wife died. And at the funeral, this is the person my grandmother was, at the funeral of his first wife, my grandmother was overheard to say to a friend, like, I'm going to marry that man. Some of you are laughing and some of you are, what? Right? And she did. And it was 6 months later, you know? So imagine now, but go back to our fictional story from her point of view, the woman's point of view, draping that, right? Now imagine she's got, maybe it's a man, maybe it's a woman. I don't know. Let's say it's a man for now. A man who is in love with her and watching her drape that, right? And he's watching just at the edge of the funeral. Maybe they've always been enemies, those two men. I don't know. Now what would the story look like? Now look at it from her kid's point of view. Now look at it from the dog's point of view that's wandering by. Aren't those all completely different stories? What are we to make of that moment when the shawl is draped? I didn't teach you much about symbolism last time, but it's like objects take on deeper significance. That one that's echoing the most because it resonates with my own experience, right? The woman draping that black, she didn't happen to me, but imagine, right? Draping that black shawl over her, you know, over her man's coffin. That shawl could mean love. It could mean connection. It could mean their first dance. It could mean more, but it will take on a different meaning depending on whose eyes we look through. That's point of view. That's where we're going today. We'll continue it next time because we have something super special next. And we'll link it back to point of view that I have been waiting for all freaking year. I think of it, most calls. And last year when Steve came to Story Freedom, one thing that some of you don't know, may not know, but Barb remembers, is that Steve is not only a time management specialist and now a productivity coach and even more so profitability coach and mentor. He also is an amazing singer. So I asked him, we had a call, I've been having calls with some of you. I asked him, it's like, Steve, this is not unprecedented. I think the only one who was here, Yvonne, we have had people sing here before, but it's been a few years. But we have had people sing before. I've been waiting for him to sing for us all year long. And I finally asked him, he picked a song. He's going to sing. Without further ado, Steve. Yes, and will you help me to welcome Steve? Oh, that takes guts, right? Thank you. And unmute yourselves, all right? Unmute for 3 loud seconds. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Woo-hoo, Steve!
Woo-hoo.
We are all ears. Thank you, Steve.
Hear me now, O thou bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be. But a knight with his banner so bravely unfurled now hurls down his gauntlet to thee. I am my Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild wind of fortune shall carry me onward, oh, whithersoever they blow. Whithersoever they blow, onward to glory I go.
Wow, that's wonderful. Woo. Woo.
Amazing.
Thank you. Bless you. I've been waiting all year to hear Steve sing here. Steve, I want to ask you, what was that experience for you? I know a little bit about it because we talked beforehand. Let us in on that just a little bit.
Well, that song for me, it's from Man of La Mancha. For those of you who don't know, the story of Don Quixote, Cervantes, the writer. And it's my dream role. That's the one role that I really want to play someday. Who knows how long it will be before we have the opportunity to go on stage and do anything, let alone finding the opportunity. I've been in the show. I was a muleteer, for those of you who know the show. It's the story of Don Quixote who chases windmills, and this is the way he introduces himself to the audience. I'm sure everybody knows To Dream the Impossible Dream. That's also from that show. But it's how, having a positive outlook in life, changes those around you. So it's one of my favorite songs from my favorite musical. And so when Michelle asked me to sing, it was the natural thing to jump on.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. You know, and I was about to say, I was about to leap in and go, from the beginning, is Steve in his head or in his heart? Because I thought he was in his head right at the beginning. And then he says, it's my dream role. It's what I really want to play someday. And isn't that where we went, oh, yes. Because with what he was saying, he made a point, right? All these things that we've been learning about were right in what Steve said. Now, I'm going to push you a little bit. So thank you for that, Steve. Thank you for singing. Thank you for being courageous enough to sing here. Thank you for sharing your beautiful gift with us. This connects, by the way, with the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, because what have we got lying around on the floor? This is part of what Steve has lying around on the floor. These gifts and talents that we have that we don't even know that we have, this part of our service that can be part and part of parcel of our service to others. If you haven't done the High Ticket Virtual Retreat yet, don't worry. You'll get there. For those who've been there, you understand what I'm saying. But I want to go a little further. Steve, can I just push a little further? There was another piece to it in our conversation. Will you let them in on that piece? You don't have to, but you could. Do you even remember?
I'm not sure to what you're referring. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a song that fits my voice. Mm-hmm.
Can I share that with him, something that you said?
Sure. I'm not sensing where you're trying to go. So
you can't remember. Yeah. It's so interesting. Let me just ask it as a question. Did you originally want to sing here, or what did you want to do? That's that piece.
Ah, okay. Yes, yes, yes. So I suggested, because I know how poorly singing comes across the Zoom, I suggested perhaps listening to a recording of me singing with my quartet or singing as a part of a chorus, which I do a lot more than I do solo work.
Thank you for sharing that, Steve. Because can you hear the, and you, can I tell them what I told you?
Yeah.
Can you hear the pullback? I'm like, here's an invitation. Oh yeah, I could, but I'll make it a recording. Can you hear both the pullback, even though that would have been beautiful, even though that would have been great. Are you glad that I said no, sing for us? Like, what a difference, right? But it requires visibility. It requires vulnerability. It requires, Zoom might not be perfect. It requires all kinds of things. Steve, thank you for stepping up to do this. And so there's that pullback. Steve was the reluctant hero, by the way. Just like Luke. Oh no, let's do it like this, right? It enters into our lives all over the place. But then he stepped forward with, hey, this is a dream, my dream role, the one I really want to play someday. The elements of story are there. All right, so thank you. Steve, are you okay if I ask somebody else what it is that they heard as they were listening to you? Are you okay if I do that? Okay, because that's really vulnerable. So something that you loved, something that you gained from this moment, what is it that you loved here in this piece? Yeah, go ahead, Dottie.
Steve, you sounded very confident to me. Mm. It's like, I have no doubt you've been doing this for a long time, and it was just not, you were not a nervous wreck in front of your friends, which I know can be more nerve-wracking than in 500 strangers. Mm. And I just was very impressed with that.
Mm. Thank you. All right.
Thanks.
Was it true? Were you not nervous, or were you nervous?
I am nervous until the first three notes come out.
Hmm.
I get a little bit of butterflies no matter when I'm singing, no matter what I'm doing. But once I start the performance, I'm in the performance and it's gone.
That's good, because I relaxed when I, with your confidence, I relaxed and wasn't nervous for you or just relaxed. And
you're right, Dottie. I have been doing this a very long time.
Cool. It was great.
Thank you for this. Thank you so much. I've been so looking forward to it all year. I've been looking forward to it. And every class is like, right, I forgot to ask him. Right, I forgot to ask him. And then I thought, everything happens for a reason. This is perfect because it could not be better. And that's, I asked Steve about this call for multiple reasons, but I was so excited. I knew we would be talking about point of view. So this also fits in perfectly with what we're talking about, because this is a part of our everyday lives and we don't even know it. What if I tell the story about what just happened from Steve's point of view? I look through his eyes. It involved even forgetting that he wanted to play the recording. That wasn't even a piece of it, right? But it involved, he's like, this is what I really want to play someday, and this is my dream role, and I'm here with these three first notes, and so I'm like, that's the story we hear. What about from my point of view? I'm like, wow, Steve's doing it. And at first he wanted to play the recording. I'm not going to let him get away with that. If he's going to rise to the occasion, which he immediately did. And I'm looking at the story elements, right? We look through my eyes, we see something different. We look through Dottie's eyes, it's like, oh my goodness. And we can hear the hints of it. Hints what maybe of what's behind what Dottie just said. Wow, Steve, you're so confident. And we don't know unless we probe further, but it might be Dottie's going like, I wonder what, like, or sometimes I've been that confident, or maybe I would love to have that confidence. Or when I'm that confident on stage, people will relax like I just did with Steve, right? Do you see that right now there are three, I only mentioned three of them, three different stories happening depending on the point of view, on whose eyes we look through? If you see that, raise your hand. So thank you. Thank you, because we get the benefit of hearing your beautiful voice, Steve. Thank you. We get to hear that, you know, courageousness of stepping forward, which I want for all of us, just like Wendy stepping forward earlier and showing us her leap and sharing it with us, right? Every time we get in on that, we get to experience a part of that. And we get to understand something about point of view, because we think it's sometimes, like, if you go look it up online, which actually I did for you because I wanted to see what was out there. It's like, man, there's all this technical weird stuff that might, you know, like, what does this have to do with my business? What does this have to do with my life? If you looked it up, right? I was sending Andrew some of that. I was like, I don't want to bore them with a heterodiegetic narrator and all this kind of, like, what does that even mean? Like, who cares, you know? But we can boil it down to something really every day. We heard it here with the draping of the shawl. So imagery and whose eyes we're looking through, those are going to be interconnected. We heard it here with Steve singing. Look through Steve's eyes. We're going to experience that differently. Look through Dottie's eyes. We'll experience it differently. Look through my eyes. We're going to experience it differently. And maybe, let me see. It could be, it's different from who's the hero of the journey. We're not always looking through the hero's eyes. Let's say Steve doesn't have to be the hero of this journey, but let's say he were, okay? And it's Steve's journey, and we can even see the arc of the hero's journey a little bit, right? He bumps into something, and he's the reluctant hero, and so on. Maybe he owns that again about his story, right? Add a piece of how I see it, right? But let's say it's Steve's story, and it's Steve's story toward, you can imagine, this could be a novel. This could be a talk that he tells from stages. This is a story, okay? Let's say it's Steve and the dream role that he really wants to play someday. And it's the obstacles in the way, and now there's COVID, and so we can't even sing, et cetera. And we could write that story, correct? Now, we could tell that story, let's say somebody writing the book, and we could tell that story, and it's all about Steve. And Steve could be telling it, like, the very first time I got on stage, I thought I was gonna die, right? We could tell it through Steve's eyes. He's the hero, we could tell through his eyes, but we don't have to. It could be Dottie saying, Dottie could tell the whole story, couldn't she? That first time I heard Steve sing, I knew that he was gonna make it. I knew that he was gonna be playing that role that he dreamed of someday. I was so inspired by that moment. I met him for coffee the next day because I couldn't wait to hear about all those times that he'd sung and what it had meant to him. I really wanted to hear about his journey. And maybe Steve's the hero of the journey, maybe it's Dottie, I don't know, we'd have to choose. But can you hear that we could look at it through Dottie's eyes and Steve could still be the central character? If you heard that, raise your hand. If you got that, I'm hoping it's 100%. Dottie could be the one looking, but Steve is the hero. Dottie's the one looking at Steve. Now, if Dottie's looking at Steve, are we gonna see Steve differently than if I'm looking at Steve? Are we gonna see Steve differently than if Steve's talking about Steve? Point of view is gonna create a different story. Well, you've just understood something technical about stories that a lot of writers don't get. A lot of novelists don't get. Sorry, Janie. Right, they messed up here, right? Not to mention entrepreneurs, but you've understood something crucially important. Because we want to tell the story through a particular point of view. Because that's when the reader gets engaged. That's when it's like, oh. That's when we're gripped. Right? So first, if you understood that Dottie could tell the story, but Steve could be the hero, raise your hand. Did you get that? I just want to see again. Y'all got that. Okay. Did you understand that Steve could tell that story and he could say, when I was little, I always dreamed of singing. And that would be another version of that story. Steve's still the hero, raise your hand. If Steve could tell it differently, and he doesn't have to say I, he could say he was just a little boy. He was so afraid of singing, it made him like puke in the night or whatever. Or maybe Steve's story is different than that. He was just a little boy. Couldn't Steve write that story if he wanted to? He could say he instead of I. We have freedom. If you understand that he could do that, raise your hand. Yes, this is all about point of view. And we have more possibilities than we think. And the important thing is that we choose it. If we don't choose it, we end up with a mess and we lose our listeners, right? So if you got that, if we don't choose it, we're gonna end up with a mess. If you sort of kind of get that even before I explain it, raise your hand. Yeah, So let me just give that example, because it's a really important point. And I was just reading about novelists. There's somebody who reviews patent novels and does, you know, he's one of the judges. And he says, these aspiring writers, at least 20% of them mess up point of view. And these are authors who spent ages studying this, right? People often mess it up, but you don't have to, because you just understood it. It's Steve singing and Dottie looking, or me looking, all right? And you can just say, you know, ask yourself, who's speaking? Who's speaking the story? Whose eyes are we seeing through? Not always the same answers to those questions, but just ask yourself those questions. And it will change the story, like with Steve singing, like with the shawl, right? So let me give you an example of, and we call this with point of view, and this is like some technical stuff about story, but I wanted to boil it down to something that's really accessible and that's gonna make a complete difference, whether the people have that moment about the shawl or whether you lose them. Because it's not just the imagery that does that. Whose eyes are we looking at that shawl through, okay? So what we don't want to do is head jump. We don't want to head jump, because remember, we want the reader to experience it as though, and a story well told, they'll experience it as though it were them. That's what a testimonial does. It's like, that could be me. And it vibrates inside them. They're not being told it. They're just like feeling it in their body. If you get that, that a testimonial works that way when it's strong, raise your hand. It's right in their body. Okay, that won't happen if we head jump. Let me do one that's not head jumping first, okay? You already heard this last week. Let's go back to the shawl. I can do this one pretty well because it's a fictional character and she's sort of like me, so I can probably do it, all right? I gotta remember she's not me. She's just a fictional character, but I'm gonna have some experience to draw on to create that character. My man died 4 years ago. Y'all know that, right? So, I'll use some elements from my own life here, all right? You're gonna hear it. It's a hot June day, Dallas, baking sun. Hot air, hard to breathe. People sitting in the shade, even in the shade, it's burning. This is actually true. I'm standing beside my daughter. We're out in the open, exposed. I'm going to change it here to fictional because this didn't happen. I take the shawl off my shoulders. It's so hot, but I had to wear it that day. It's the one that I wore when we first danced together. It's the one that I wore when our daughter played that game and we cheered like crazy. It's the one I was wearing when I got that call. I take the shawl off my shoulders. My daughter touches my shoulder. I place the shawl across the coffin. I stand, feel the heat on my shoulders. Can you hear it? This is all imagery. The reason it works, yes, I'm drawing on my own experience. I'm making this stuff up though too. There was no shawl, okay? But the reason that, if you felt that, raise your hand. If you're awake and alive, you ought to have felt that, all right? The reason you feel that is because it's through that character's point of view. She has a lot to do with me, but she is not me, right? I'm drawing on my own experience, but we're looking very specifically through her point of view, and you feel it in your guts. That image is going to be connected with what that person is like. We're going to see everything through their eyes. And then the person will feel it. Let me head jump for you just before we'll do another little piece of this next time, probably. But let me head jump for you, because when we head jump, the spell of story is lost. They will not feel it in their body. They will disengage, and then it's all head knowledge, and they're going like, what? And they get confused. So I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do and see if the story has the same effect. It's not going to, okay? And I'll try to head jump between me, my fictional daughter, who's based on Dana, but it's not really Dana, and maybe somebody sitting there, and I don't know what else, okay? Let me try and see how that goes, because the same actions. It's a baking hot sun. I, John, am sitting under the shade, and at least I've got some shade here. I'm here with my buddy who's, you know, we all used to drink together with, I'll use my man's name, with Shelley. It's pretty hot out here, but we're used to the sun, and our black skin is perfect for this. This is where our ancestors come from. Oh, look, there's a woman there who's wearing a black shawl. I've got the black shawl on my shoulders. My daughter's beside me. Dana thinks, wow, I wonder how my mom is feeling right now. Is she thinking about Shelley, or does she remember that it's hot out and she should take the shawl off? You guys are all falling asleep. Right? It's the same story. Why are you falling asleep now? Somebody say it other than me. This is gold for your talks, for strategy sessions, for every time you talk to somebody, when you talk to your kid, your grandmother, how these elements work together. Why are you falling asleep now?
Because it's all over the page.
Like, there's, it's not all over the page, for sure.
There's not really a point. There's not one main character.
Yes, there's not one main point. We didn't even talk about that main point, but when we bring all these things together, oh my goodness, it's magical. All right? Because I wasn't even thinking about the one main point when I did the shawl first version that you had you all, you know, on the edge of your seats, right? So I don't have one main point. That's one thing. Yvonne, what else do you want to add to that?
Yeah, it was just messy. It was hard to follow.
Of course it was, because I'm over here in John's head, then I'm over in my head, then I'm in Dana's head. We experience life from our own bodies with looking through our eyes. One person, us. And when we jump into somebody else's eyes, we experience it as though we were them. And and our brains actually don't even know the difference. It's amazing, the studies they've done about this. The same parts of the brain fire up. It's somebody else's story, but I experience it. That's what happened to you. You experience that as though it were you. You know, man or woman, you've lost somebody like that or not. You identify with it or not. In that moment, you are that character. And it's like, oh, it's gut-wrenching. As soon as I jump from head to head to head, it's not like our experience. And the spell is lost. And I'm like, what's going on here? Oh, I was sitting underneath. And we get into our heads. The story does not work. In that scene, I don't head jump. I stay with that perspective. And with going back to Steve singing, for instance, it could have been not Dottie, not me. It could have been maybe there's a kid, I don't know, at his place listening at the keyhole. I don't know, Uncle Steve, I don't know who's at his house right now, but imagine. Uncle Steve is singing a song. I have no idea why he's singing. It's really weird, but I've heard him sing before. In fact, he told me once that, right? We could stay with that perspective. And if it were the kid listening at the keyhole, we stay there. We can't drift over into what Steve is. He can't describe Wendy. He can't see Wendy. We stay there. And it's going to filter what we put in the story, what we leave out, because that person can only see those things. But when we do that, like that shawl story that I just told you, and you were all there with me, it was only through her point of view. And combined with the other elements of story, it is powerful. And you could use that immediately on stage. You could start with an image. It could be somewhere in your talk. It could be in, if you've done door number one and door number two with me before, that's filled with imagery, right? And it's imagining from the point of view of later in your life, for instance. What can you touch and taste and feel and see living there versus living there? I would rather live here, and I've just felt it. Tons of applications for your work. From imagery last time to point of view, whose eyes are we seeing through, so that we tell a story that lands in our audience, that lands in that for that potential client, that when we're networking, whatever it is, we can use this power anywhere and everywhere for our branding, for our company. Every single piece we do in our company's story. There's point of view. We are done for the day over here. According to my clock, it's already 2:01 here in Calgary, 2:02. So we're gonna wrap this call up about point of view. Remember, today is the last day to register for those 3 days of training at Story Freedom if you haven't already. And then you get to come for those 2 hours. I'm just doing my best to try to help you in crazy, extra awesome ways. That's what we can do in one call. What can we do in 3 days? If you've already been to Story Freedom, do not expect the same Story Freedom. I am not the same person as a year ago. We are not in the same world as a year ago. This is going to be the best story freedom freaking ever. I know that. Please don't miss it. Please let me help you register your ticket. And also, if you want to bring a friend, for $67 that go to the food bank, they get 3 days of a deep dive training and you get $100. It's win-win-win for them, for you, and for this company, because then we get to serve people, whether I ever see your friend again or not. You know, maybe there's some extra other work we could do. Fantastic. If not, they will be deeply served by those 3 days. So do not forget to register your ticket. And if you want to bring your friends, go ahead and register, have them register. Let us know so we can enter you in the draw. Our first draw is coming up. I think it's Monday. Have a great, great week, everybody. We're going to end with one aha, one inspired action. So whatever we're doing here actually goes out there into our companies. So we're making a difference on this planet, the difference that we are meant to make. And that itself also is a story. What do I envision of my story, the vision for my company? That too is a story. Which one are you on? How big is your dream? What do you imagine is possible? What are your obstacles? How do you get through them? All of that story. Sherry, you're up first. One aha, one inspired action.
My aha is to know there is point of view and use it. And my inspired action is to rethink how I did my 5-day challenge last week and see how that point of view can work in there.
Thank you. Yes. The story always comes first. The story comes first. We can do so much work and we can make it all work infinitely more when we understand the story behind it. A Facebook challenge has to have a freaking awesome story, and there has to be a whole bunch of little mini stories to get people from the one piece to the other and so on. And if we don't know that, we can put in a lot of work and not have the results that we want. And when we just add even one component of a story, it can like change everything. So thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. Andrea, you're up.
So I had two ahas. My first one's actually for Stephen. I think that he should, from here ever forward, work that song into every single talk, because productivity is not chasing windmills. So I just think it's brilliant. Anyways, like, that is awesome. I like that the point of view doesn't have to come from the hero's perspective or their journey. And so that's just making me rethink things. So I need to, right now I'm going to go back and take a look at some of the writing and figure out, can I adjust to different perspectives?
Fantastic. I love it. You keep going back. It's like, what did I write here? What did I write here? What else can there be? And yes. And so that's your aha and your inspired action. Beautiful. Perfect. Implementable. Check-offable. Yes. Steve, you're up. Thank you again, Steve. That was beautiful.
Sure. My pleasure. I love to sing, as you may be able to tell. It's hard to do now. I have, very few places I can do it. So thank you for allowing me. So my aha is that I need to think about the point of view with respect to the stories that I'm telling. And make sure that I'm using the point of view, which is getting across the one point that, exactly, that most effective at getting across that one point. And I will post a question about that in the Facebook group. My inspired action is I have to go back and listen to last week. So I missed that one. So I need to go back and catch up.
Fantastic. Yes. Every single piece that we're doing here, it all fits together like, I don't know, hand in glove. They're all, it all works together. And even if you have one component, it can change everything. When you've got the different components and how they work, it's real power in our companies in a beautiful way that we can implement, we can use to serve the people we're meant to serve. Thank you, Steve.
Beautiful. And I love, Andrea, I love the idea of thinking about trying to include that in presentations, but.
I 100% agree. Talk about a standout quality.
Think about how that
is a great idea. Absolutely, 100% agreed. Yes. Yeah, Yvonne, you're up.
Stories can be heard and shared through different points of view.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm going to write my first paragraph of my story.
Yay, fantastic. Yes. Perfect. Check-offable. Beautiful thing to do. Yes. Dottie, you're up.
I loved knowing about the topic today, point of view. I loved it. I thought it was great. Is the call today at 4:30 in Facebook?
It's at 4 today. And go over to Facebook, the Love Your Words Facebook page, and it will tell you, it will give you the details, right? So what's your inspired action, Dottie?
I'm going to call a friend of mine and ask them to help me with this point of view situation.
Awesome. Fantastic. And here's the thing, like, lean in with this community. This community knows what this means. And there's a lot of ideas about what it is. There's a lot of layers of complexity.
It's someone in the community.
Fantastic. Great thing to do. Yes. Barb, you're up.
The whole thing about point of view, and that we can change the point of view with the same facts, the same story. Yes. And that's just really cool. And so I'm going to look at one of the stories I like to tell and see whose point of view would be most effective.
Oh, yes, exactly. Oh my goodness. The music to my ears. You got it. Yes. Wendy, you're up next.
So my aha is that I have been doing this. Like, that's already happening, and it's so cool. Because I wrote my vision for my garden place from Ms. Divinity's point of view. Like, it's written as a letter to my current self from my future self, all about this cool garden place.
Yes. So now you can notice, like, you can name what it is you were doing. And that's huge, because we think we're just one thing, but there's when you can see that, that creates a trajectory too for your life, for your company. Yes, there's many, many ways that we can use point of view, and you have been. Yes, great notice. What's your inspired action, Wendy?
Yeah, so right now I'm in the process actually of, like, rewriting the garden place from the view of my ideal listener. Mm-hmm. He's now telling the story to me as we go through this. It's so much fun. Wow. It's so cool to, like, understand and see what's happening.
And I love the aspect of play. Well, it's fun. I can do it from their point of view, and I can shift this. Like, when we start to know the elements, we can play with them. Remember right at the beginning of Stories That Sell Now, I talked about, like, the story is like clay. Be playful. And the more we understand what these components are, the more we can play with them, the more we can use them consciously, the more we can actually make a difference in what people are hearing, whether they can engage with us, what they're even hearing, and what they understand of it. It's so far beyond features and benefit. It's just like nothing like that. And the impact we can have, the influence that we can have to help people with the thing that we do is phenomenal. So thank you, Wendy. Thank you all. Fantastic call. You guys are playing at so full out. Please remember to register your ticket, register your friends as well before the deadline so you can get the extra goodies. We're incentivizing you to do the thing that's going to help you anyway. Doing my best to serve you at many different levels. So have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll see you perhaps, I hope, at 4:00 today. And then also next on Tuesday. So lots of times, lots of points of connection to take this whole story journey further. Have a great week, and we'll see you maybe even in a couple of hours. Bye-bye for now.